Welcome everyone. I hope and pray that you are all doing well. Ever since this second wave started, all that we could hear is death, whether it is from the news channels or if it is from family or friends. We keep hearing people dying or someone's on the deathbed. And people are running around for medicines to save someone's life or to delay someone's death. And life is hard. Life is already hard, and this pandemic brought us more troubles. We already have sufferings and problems in our lives, sufferings because of the troubles in the family, troubles in the marriage life, troubles at workplace, troubles in the church, troubles and problems because of our own sinfulness. But if we focus on the problems, sufferings, and troubles, life looks gloomy. If you remember James, he said, if you bring God into life, everything becomes meaningful. He says in James chapter 1 verse 2 to 5, sufferings have a purpose. They make us mature in Christ. When God is in the picture, everything becomes meaningful. Suffering actually reminds us that we are mortal. The death reminds us that we are mortal. Death reminds us that we are weak. We are not in control. Death reminds us that God is in control. This help pushes us towards God, to put our faith in God for the deliverance. So today we are going to look at Psalm 40. If you know, from Psalm 37 to Psalm 40 are pleas for deliverance. And Psalm 37 to 39, they are focused on the trouble. But Psalm 40 is a little different. It has combination of thanksgiving of the psalmist for the deliverance that he experienced and also laments for the future trouble that he is going to face. So we can call Psalm 40 is a psalm of triumph. And Psalm 40, as I have mentioned earlier, it has thanksgiving of past deliverance from verses 1 to 5. And verses 6 to 10, there is a commitment for the present submission. And verses 11 to 17, he pleads God for the future deliverance. So with that said, we will go to Psalm 40. I'm reading from ESV version. Psalm 40. The title, My Help and My Deliverer. Verse 1, to the choir master, a psalm of David. We don't know the context of the psalm. But we know the author, it's David. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. So as we can see, these are the verses that talks about his psalmist past deliverance, and how he is thanking and praising God for the deliverance that he experienced. From verse 6, we can see of his present commitment. He says in verse 6, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. And some of the verses, as we can see, are quoted even in the New Testament because they are prophesying about the Messiah, Christ himself. From verses 11 to 17, we can see Psalmist's plea for future trouble. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continuously, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. May God bless this reading in our midst. As we can see, in verse 4, he says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Now he says, a man is blessed, not when he will not have any problems. As we can see, the psalmist says there are many problems in his life. He already experienced the pit of destruction. And even now for verses 11 to 17, he's pleading for deliverance. So there are problems in life, but he's not focusing on them. He's looking at the God who is stronger and powerful than the trials and troubles that he is going through. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. And as we can see, his one thing that we can learn from this man is his faith, his firm faith in Christ, in the Lord. Christ is his confidence. His firm faith in Christ is seen. He says in verse 3, in verse 4, he says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. He surely talks about how he is blessed and how people should put their faith in the Lord. And then towards the end, verse 17, he says, as for me, I am poor and needy. It's not that I don't have problems. I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. I have Lord who cares for me, who puts interest in me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. That's the lesson that we can learn. His firm faith in Christ Jesus. So, like this psalmist, we should also have firm faith. And we should have confidence in Christ. Faith is nothing but confidence. Faith in Christ is confidence in Christ. Christ is his confidence, psalmist's confidence. So should be for us also. Christ is our confidence. And we should be firm in faith, putting our confidence in Christ. And from this man today, as we can see, from verses 1 to 17, we can learn three principles to have this firm faith like this psalmist. And number one is found in verses 1 to 5, where he declares God's deliverance. As he sits and meditates about God's deliverance in his life, he grows in confidence in Christ. That's how he becomes firm in his faith. Number one is to remember to declare God's deliverance. As we can see in verse 1, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, this word, I waited patiently, this twice he mentioned the same word. Waited patiently is the same word in the original language. To show the double emphasis, I earnestly waited, patiently waited for the Lord. We can learn from this man who has firm faith in Christ is when the problem of suffering came into his life, first response is he went to the Lord and waited for the Lord to deliver him. What a lesson that we can learn. He waited patiently, he says. How about us? What is our first response when the suffering comes? What is your first response? Do we grumble or do we run to Christ? I think one lesson that we can learn from the psalmist is to run to Christ and wait on him for the deliverance. And look at how the psalmist sings about God's deliverance. When he waited patiently for the Lord, this is the only thing that he had done. And he gives five consecutive divine actions in response to his waiting. Number one, he says, He inclined to me. He heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of Meribah. And he says, he set my feet upon rock, and he put a new song in my mouth. He says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and God for sure came and delivered me. Number one, first and foremost, he started off with God who inclined to me, he says. God, when we pray, whether we doubt, we might doubt, but God inclines towards us and he hears our prayers. And he says, he drew me up from the pit of destruction. Now, this pit of destruction could be any thing. It could be his personal sin. It could be trouble that he is experiencing from his enemies, or because of any suffering that he is experiencing, which is destroying him. It's a pit of destruction. It could be anything, even in your life. It could be anything. But Christ is powerful enough to bring us out of any problem and put us in a safe place. He says, he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. And he didn't just leave there. He says, he put a new song in my mouth. This song is not my song. It is God who inspired me. This song is a song of praise to our God, he says. What a blessed place to be. To be relieved and to be delivered from the sufferings and sing praises to God. Sing praises to God. God is interested in hearing our prayers. God is interested in delivering us. And that's why Jesus in Luke chapter 11, he said in verse 9, I tell you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find it. Knock, it will be opened to you. And Psalm 34 verse 15, he says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. Peter said the same in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. His ears are open to our prayers. He waited patiently on the Lord and God delivered him. And he put a new song, a song that had never been sung. Now, the psalmist already believes in the Lord. But now, after this deliverance, he sung a new song. He now, as he experiences God's glorious deliverance, he is captivated with the majesty of God, glory of God, and he sings a new song, a song of praise. He learned more about God and is joyfully singing praises to God. I think this is one thing that we have to learn from him. Another thing that we have to learn from him, to sit and count all the blessings, all the deliverances that God has given, and we will sing songs of praise to our God. And look at verse 3 and the second part of it. When he starts singing praises about God because of the deliverance that he experienced, he says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. This songs of praise became an evangelistic songs. As he spoke of God's great deliverance in his life, people who hear started fearing God and putting their trust in him. His cry turned to a carol song earlier, and now he says people's fear turned to faith in God. And he says, all people, whoever puts their faith in the Lord, are blessed. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Whoever puts their faith in Christ is a blessed man. And putting faith in Christ is not just like believing him as one of the way for the solution of the problem, but solely putting trust in the Lord. He says, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after life. This proud go astray after life. And what kind of lies people might go? Oh, people might go different kinds of lies. When the suffering hits, they might say, this God doesn't love me. This God doesn't hear my prayer. It could be any lie. People can fall into any lie, and it is destructive actually. But the blessed man puts his trust in the Lord alone. And see verse 5, he says, you have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. As he meditates on all the blessings and the deliverances that God has given him, he says, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts, your care, your love towards me is so great that I can't even explain. If I sit and try to write, my life is not enough. I can't. There are so many that they can't be told. And I think if we sit and write down, there will be plenty. This is how the psalmist grew firm in faith. As he meditates on the deliverances that he experienced from the Lord, he grew firm in faith. So first thing that we have to learn from the psalmist is to declare God's deliverance that we experience in our lives. And the second principle, as we can learn, as we can see from this man from verse 6 to 10, is his dedication to obey God. His dedication to obey God. Now, as we can see from verse 6, these are the verses also quoted in the New Testament, especially in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to 10. And these are prophecies about Messiah. He says, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book, as it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. It's Christ who perfectly, willingly obey the Master. So the gist of verse 6 is that God delights in obedience rather than sacrifice and offering. God delights in obedience. And number 2, when he talks about open ears, he's talking about the willingness to submit. And if you know from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 21, verse 6 talks about this, where verse 5 and 6, he talks about where the slave, after his period of slavery from the master, if he loves the master, he will willingly, plainly goes to the master and says, I love my master. I and my family will willingly serve you. And they will they'll have pierced ears. They will pierce their ears as a ceremony. And now that's all as a way of communicating his willingness to open ears, his willingness to submit to someone. So we can see it is Christ alone who willingly, completely submitted to God the Father. David could not fulfill these words, even though he desired to willfully submit to the Father, God. He could not fully submit. But we can see in Jesus Christ's life, as And Luke chapter 23:46, Jesus calling out with a loud voice said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Christ is the only person who willfully, completely submitted to the Father. And these verses are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And his obedience, Christ's obedience on the cross,
brought us all the blessings. Grace is available for us because of Jesus' obedience. But now, one thing we can learn from this psalmist, as he desired to do God's will, he failed, but Christ alone submitted to the Father. One common thing is desire to obey God, willful desire to obey God. Number one, to obey God, to see God's delight, aiming God's delight. Verse 6, he says, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted. The focus is on the delight of God. It's not my delight, it's not your delight, it is God's delight that we have to seek. And Jesus is the only one who made God happy, delightful. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. And we should have the same desire like Christ. We should have same desire like the psalmist, to desire God's delight in our life. What is your goal today? Do you seek your happiness or God's happiness? It's a blessed opportunity to live for God's delight, to see God's smile upon our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him, to please God. That should be our goal. And not only God's delight, He aims at God's glory. You can see from verse 9 and 10, He talks about how I have told the glad news of deliverance, good news of deliverance in the great congregation. And I have not restrained my lips, O Lord, He says. And what is the glad news, good news of deliverance? What is the message? It's the good news of deliverance, your deliverance. You can see in verse 10, your deliverance, your faithfulness, your steadfast love, your faithfulness again. So the message is about God, His deliverance, His faithfulness, His steadfast love. It's not how great we are. It's not how spiritual we are. It's not how loving we are, how caring we are. It's about how God is loving. That's the whole thing, aiming God's glory. And we can see Jesus Christ actually proclaiming this glad news of deliverance. After resurrection, He pointed, He taught disciples of His deliverance after resurrection. So we should also imitate this, to proclaim gladly the good news of deliverance. And our deliverance, God gave us deliverance so that we might praise Him, so that we might sing praises to Him. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. To the praise of His glorious grace. To the praise of His glorious grace. That is the goal why God has given us redemption. If you are a Christian, then you have a glad news of deliverance to share with people, to proclaim in the congregation. Yeah, rather than focusing on the problems now, we could focus on God's goodness towards us, God's deliverance, and sing of His praises. We always have a reason to praise God if you are a Christian, because of the deliverance that God has given from sin and death. We don't have to hide it. We shouldn't be hiding it. We shouldn't be concealing it. we should proclaim. As Paul says in Colossians 1:28, him we proclaim. We point people to Christ. We don't sing about our greatness, our spiritual greatness, our faith, our faithfulness, or our loving character, but we proclaim Christ, the deliverance that Christ has given. And we point people to Christ. That's how we will be grow in faith, to be firm in faith. Number one, to declare God's deliverance. Number two, to dedicate to obey God. And number three is found in verses 11 to 17, dependency on God for future deliverance, future troubles. As he says in verse 11, as for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfastness, steadfast love, and your faithfulness will preserve me. So, from all the problems that he is facing, he is trusting in Lord's mercy, steadfast love, and his faithfulness to preserve him. He says in verse 12, for evils have encompassed me beyond number. Now he enters into the current problem. There are a lot of evils that are encompassing him, but he puts his trust in the steadfast love, covenant, faithful love, how God will persevere, preserve him. And what are these troubles? In his life? Number one, he talks about evil within him. He says, my iniquities have overtaken me. Most of the time, the sufferings, it could be because of our own personal sin. It may not be because of God giving us any trial or something. Sometimes, most of the times, it could be our personal sin. And when a suffering or trial comes, we examine our own soul, whether we are walking with the Lord or not. And if we are walking with the Lord, and still if you have suffering, we completely submit to God and trust that he will deliver us. But if there is iniquity in us, and first thing we can learn here is that he says, my iniquities have overtaken me. I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. He confesses his sin. How great his sin is. And then he pleads for deliverance. I think that's a thing that we have to practice. To confess our sin and pray for the deliverance. There is evil within us. Whether we believe it or not, as Bible says, the heart is deceitful over all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So it's iniquities which is within us, the evil within us can bring us a lot of sufferings. Remember in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. God at times chastises us, disciplines us because of our sin. So if there is a suffering in our lives, we examine our lives. And if there is a sin, we confess and ask God to deliver us from the suffering. Number two, there are troubles from outside. He says, verse 14, let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. So there are people, there are enemies who is seeking to take his life. And he says, let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. So there are people who are mocking him, trying to take his life and mocking him. And now we are not in this great persecution, but we know we have friends who are going through this. People who are trying to take their life, take Christian's life, and mocking him. And if we desire to live a godly life, I think this is Inevitable. Christians will be mocked. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed, all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And Jesus told us to expect sufferings in John 16. He said, these things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you think that he is offering service to God. Definitely, if we pursue a godly life, we will be facing trials. And people will mock about our faith. Now, one thing I have to clarify. Psalmist David is not praying against his personal enemies. Now, Bible already teaches to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And also in Romans 12, 17, repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And many other places, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another. Peter says the same in 1 Peter 3:9. But here, David is praying against people who are against God, who are mocking God. Remember, David is not the person who takes personal revenge. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, David spared Saul's life because he is anointed by God. David is jealous for God's glory. David is praying against God's enemies. You can read, look at verse 16. He says, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continuously, great is the Lord. So, David's desire is God's glory, not his glory. Those who love you, those who seek you, let them rejoice and they sing of your greatness. Great is the Lord. He's talking about the people who are mocking him and trying to take his life because they are enemies of God. Remember one of the enemy, you can think of the Goliath when he was mocking not just David. He was mocking all the Israelites. That is when David became jealous and went and said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. So for David, he is praying against God's enemies. But one thing we can see, whether it is evil, the problem that is within him or outside of him, he trusted God for deliverance. And he trusted God, and he says in verse 17, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. That's the courage that he has. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Life can truly be full of pits of destruction, full of trials, sufferings. But number one thing that we have to remember is God hears our prayers and is ready and willing to deliver us. So we should be confident in Christ and go in prayer to Christ and pray and wait on the Lord for deliverance. And then we will definitely experience the deliverance. And if you have lived a Christian life for a while, you will have the stories of Christ's deliverance in your life. So if you're going through a suffering, you can sit and meditate on all the deliverances that Christ has given in your life and sing praises to him. And commit to obey God. Commit to seek his glory, his delight in your life. And continue to depend on him for future deliverance of the problems. Remember in John 16 verse 23, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus Christ encouraged disciples to ask in His name. And whatever we ask the Father in His name, He will give it to us, He said. So let's trust in this promise and the provision that we have in Christ and go to God in prayer and wait on the Lord. And God will deliver us from all the trials that we have, or else He will empower us to endure through the trials. Close in prayer. Father, we come before You, and as we can see, the blessed man is the man who puts his trust solely in Christ and Christ alone. Christ is our confidence. Christ is our confidence for our salvation. Because of His work on the cross, we have been saved. Now, even as we face through other trials and sufferings in life, I pray that we will continue to trust in Christ, and that we will run to Christ in prayer and wait on Him. And as we go through these sufferings, help us to sing songs of Your deliverance that we have already experienced. Help us to commit to submit to You. Help us to commit to depend on You in all the trials and sufferings that we face. I pray for the sick in the church. I pray for the families who are taking care of the sick. I pray that You will help them. I pray that You will empower them to endure this trial and suffering. Lord, there is a lot of pain in this life. But one thing is for sure. Death is for sure. But for those who put their faith in Christ, will have eternal life. Death is just a door for the glorious eternal life. I pray that we will grow in faith and encourage one another in faith, Lord. We continue to rely on You, depend on You. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.